After months of preparation here, live on stream, doing drafts, talking about the rookies, even poring over Google Sheets data, it is finally time for the NFL draft. And that means it is time to plant my flags one last time. You watch the streams on a regular basis. You know the rookies I like. You know the rookies I don't like. But today, we're going to try to figure it out. And I'm already in a draft room. Ha, ha, ha. The PFF draft room. I'm in a mock draft room here. PFF, let's make this window a better size. Could block out some more area here. There we go. Leaving it a little plug going. Let's get a probably plug today. We don't need to plug underdog. We're not doing underdog draft. But what I'm going to do today, I'm going to do a mock draft. I'm also going to do a tier maker ranking of all the rookie prospects, at least the top fantasy rookie prospects. So your Javon Bakers, your Burtons, those guys not going to be on that one. We will talk about the QBs. We'll talk about some of the top running backs, some of the top wide receivers, and we'll actually try to draft players. So here's the tough part of doing a mock draft on PFF. You have to know defensive players. And I'll tell you, this guy, stop paying attention to anybody. I care about team defense. I care about team offensive lines. For the most part, I'm going to be doing guesswork with that stuff. But the QBs, the running backs, the wide receivers, the tight ends, of course, I know like the back of my hand, or we hope. So let's start the draft and let's make some picks and see what we do. Shout out to the chat too. Guy Tyler has missed the squirt squad. Appreciate that. Adam's already got some hot takes that Penix is QB2. I don't agree with that one, but we'll see. And then had a small field best ball yesterday. There we go. Okay, so they got everything going. Here's an NFL draft hot take. The RBs have proved substantially more valuable than we may now imagine. Wide receivers prove less valuable after the top three. Interesting takes there. Not ones I necessarily agree with, but let's make our pick here. So pick number one, who goes? As you guys know, I've been making this pick on drafts, best ball drafts for a long time now. This has been the presumption for years, basically, of this guy being QB1 or being pick number one. It's Caleb Williams. He goes number one overall to the Bears. That's a pick that I think makes sense. Again, they are loading up the team offensively with Keenan Allen, with DJ Moore. Maybe some additions at tight end, maybe in the third receiver as well from this rookie class. We'll see what the Bears do at pick number nine. But overall, for me, with the Bears, I think this is a great landing spot for Caleb Williams. He's already hanging out with the team there. They didn't have him go out with the coaches for dinner. They had him going out with DJ Moore and some of the players on the team who were leaders. So that's what they have Caleb Williams doing. I think he's in position to succeed. And I don't know that he's my QB1 in the class. I think it actually might be this guy who PFF has ranked very lowly. And I don't agree with it. Some stuff going against. How low? Am I missing Jaden here? They have Jaden ranked 21. This is bullshit. My QB2, my second pick off the board is Jaden Daniels, to be clear. Jaden Daniels, what have we talked about enough here? He's a combo analytically using the analytics that I swear by, the EPA metrics in particular from Sports Info Solutions. He's a combo CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson. That is the hill that I am dying on deeply in my big board exposure. And in general this year, I think that Jaden Daniels has a shot to be the QB1. If we're hot taking, he's on the thumbnail for that reason. I think in fantasy, Jaden Daniels is one of those players that people are going to regret shitting on. And you know what's going to happen? It's gonna be the same fucking thing that happened with Anthony Richardson last year, where a lot of people who were down on him, all of a sudden he has a couple of games, and you know what? They're right back on the train acting like they were stumping from since day one. I can tell you they weren't. I saw it firsthand as the man who has the jersey next to him. Jaden Daniels is the exact same thing. People have found reasons to shit on him. Found reasons to go, oh, he's too small. He's too narrow. He's Wile E. Coyote. Takes too many big hits. I'm fucking tired of it. He's the best prospect I think that we are going to have coming into the NFL at QB. Frankly, might be the best prospect out of the last 5 years in terms of how he's going to play in fantasy. Will the real life stuff translate? Are there some concerns about his throwing windows, where he targets on the field, his reads? Yes, there's some. If he goes to Washington, is there maybe a risk that he doesn't get coached up in the way he could in some other spots? Same thing for New England, honestly. Yeah, there's a good shot of that too. That said, based on what he did in college, I don't care if he's 23. I don't care if he's a little bit younger than Joe Burrow was coming in. Jaden Daniels is my biggest stand here, and he's pick number two in my PFF draft. So there we go. I had to yell about it, but this is the one. It's a hot take show. I think Jaden Daniels is a guy who's going to change the landscape of fantasy, and if he is going anything under 100 in drafts when the BBM starts, and I don't think that's going to happen. People know he's going to go to the Commanders. They won't stack him. They'll reach for him a little bit. But he is so electric at everything he does, plus EPA throw at every level, takes sacks too much, but still better under pressure EPA-wise than Caleb Williams. Roughly same EPA under pressure as Drake May. I just think for Jaden Daniels, he's getting slept on too much. And I've been tired of the slander. I feel like it's one of those things in the NFL draft this year where it feels like an NBA draft more so, where people are like, oh, there's draft cycles too long, and now I have to start to nitpick these top prospects. And it's like, Jaden, a little bit old, sure, a little bit skinny. Doesn't matter. What he did in the field, there are not a lot of guys in the world could do. So that is my big thing that I'm going to say there. Daniels is 6'4", Kyler. I could live with that as a take for sure, but I don't know. That's it. All right, pick three. So a lot going on right now that the Patriots apparently looking for a trade to trade down. They're not getting enough draft capital to justify it. The thing that was, and I think it was Diana Rossini's reports this morning, and I do think, I've said it before, I don't think she's the best reporter, team source person. I think she kind of has a few and it makes them represent a bigger size. That's based on me reading some of her stuff over the years and not finding it aligning as much with the takes that I try to find for fantasy, for betting, for things like that. That said, the reports that are out there, and I've heard this a few times, I think as well, New England wants a top QB. Do they want a top three QB? I'm not sure about that. So that's the part that I have a question mark. I think they could trade. That said, I will show you here. On PFF, you have to pay for premium to make a trade. So we're not going to do trades here. We will take Drake May for them. But I want to point out, I think they are live to trade down with the Vikings. I think the Vikings then, or the Patriots would try to use the Vikings pick to then move up again to get JJ McCarthy. So if I were going to make a bet right now, based on what I've heard in the last 48 hours, I've read in the last 48 hours, and what I've known also this entire time period, I think that Vikings go to three to get May, and then Patriots come down somewhere else in the top 10, I would guess, to get McCarthy. So that's my bet right now. I'm still happy with the exposure I have for Drake May to New England. And either way, we are taking Drake May to New England in this mock draft right now. All right, pick four here. Chat's nothing chat-wise. All right. Pick four, Marvin Harrison, an obvious one. I think Malik Nabers might be more live for this spot. So there was another, and I've been reading too many articles this week, so I'm not going to source stuff as well as I should. There was another article I was reading this week talking about Malik Nabers. I think it was another Athletic one. Nabers being profiled by some teams being better than Harrison, especially because of the fact he's a better yards after catch guy. Because of that, the Giants have also said in quotes, at least anonymous quotes, to team reporters and stuff like that, they want to get somebody who has yak yardage. So Malik Nabers has to go 4-5, or he's going 6 to the Giants. This is way, basically the way that I view it. I think that this would be the first draft upset that would completely fuck up people's boards. So I'm willing to make the stand. I think Malik Nabers goes 4. I'm not the most confident in that one. I'm confident in a lot of things in this draft. I'm confident in the QB play we're going to get. I'm confident in the Jaden Daniels take. I am less confident in this one, but I think there's just been too much sniffing around this stuff. Harrison not testing. Nabers did test. Nabers a little bit younger as well. What he brings is an explosive after catch guy. And I think, too, knowing that there are teams that are going to be hot on Nabers' trail, I think that he is going to go here, pick 4. So this is my best guess, which is a pivot from everything I've done in drafts all year. So that's going to be the part that I would say I have favored Harrison the Cardinals more in drafts. But I think in terms of me doing this mock draft right now, I think Nabers makes sense. So all the Squirt Squad knows, I think JJ McCarthy got a GM fired. We'll see. I mean, New England doesn't really have a GM anyway, so I guess nobody can get fired for New England. All right, so Chargers heavy signaling that they want to go offensive lineman. Is that a smokescreen because they want to maybe see if they can get a Harrison pushed down to him? Maybe. I still think that they're going to go offensive lineman. I'm actually going to give the Chargers Joe Alt here, a guy who has been a favorite in a lot of these drafts to go at this part of the draft. Pick 6. So Giants want a yak guy. Neither Harrison nor Odunze is really a big yak guy. Let's see. After the catch last year at wide receiver, Odunze 5.4, Harrison 6.3, Nabers 6.7. So these guys are all in a decent range, but Odunze clearly the least yak guy here. I would guess if Marvin Harrison fell to pick 6, the Giants would be doing backflips. I agree that it would suck. This is probably not the pick you want. Giants also could be linked to an offensive lineman, but I think they want Joe Alt. If Joe Alt goes 5, that's not good for them. So I'm actually going to go Marvin Harrison goes to the Giants, an outcome that we probably don't actually want to see. But man, that would certainly, that'd be a tough one. What would his BBM ADP be? Second, third round turn, I would guess. Even that, I don't know if he'll actually come down because people on BBM are willing to buy in on shitty teams. I don't know how about shitty QB play, but we see the Jets continue to go really high, and I've pointed enough foibles in that based on their Super Bowl odds and just how, frankly, I think they are as a team. But besides that, I think that there might be a shot that he holds, but I would guess if he's going to fall on Daniel Jones / Drew Lock penalty, I would guess 2-3 turns probably the latest. All right, pick 7 here. It does seem like the Titans, I think, could go a bunch of different ways. They have been linked to wide receiver. They've brought in guys like Nabers. I don't know if they've brought in Odunze. Let me just take a quick look and see. Tennessee Titans. Titans have talked to Nabers. They met Odunze at the combine, have not had him in for a visit. Besides that, they're looking at guys like Tez Walker and Roman Wilson. So I think they would like to get Neighbors if he falls to them. And if he doesn't, they're not going to go necessarily to Romo Odunze. So I'm going to let Odunze fall. Would they go to Bowers? This is the part that's tough, because like I think for a team like the Titans, could go defense still, even though they have really committed to offense. Like, they committed so much to offensive free agency that I think they don't have to. I'm just going to give them a cornerback here. Cooper DeJean. It's whatever. I think, would the Falcons be tempted by Odunze at 8? I don't think so. I think they would take, I think they're going to go Laiatu Latu. This is the not fun part, guys, but we have to pick these guys too to get to the other players we actually do want to pick. So Bears, what do the Bears do with Odunze? I'm looking up Walter Football's top 30 visits list right now in parallel to see if they've had anything new coming in. Odunze, combine and top 30. Brock Bowers, combine and top 30. Do the Bears actually stay in the spot and take one more stud player? Bears and Odunze? Bears and Bowers? I think it's Bears and Bowers. I think Bowers goes before the Jets pick. Do the Jets duplicate Mike Williams with Odunze? Jets have liked Malik Neighbors a lot. Man, I feel like this is a hot takey mock draft for me. So I hope you guys are enjoying me fucking floundering through the defensive players. Jets saw Odunze for a top 30. I think they would be stunned that Bowers went the pick before, would be disappointed here. Odunze would be a bad pick for Chicago. I mean, the hope is that he would be your DJ Moore understudy slash guy coming on the upswing. And shout out to our guy, Yoshi here. Day two of blindly firing. I probably best not expect this to be my new hyperfixation. I hope it's going well, Yoshi. Market data is, you know, the main promise there, but you can see the promo there. Promo code SPLASH and probably saves you 50%. So Yoshi, shout out Yoshi. Very nice tweet from him too. I'm going to go Odunze to the Jets. I think him being here at this point, they got scooped on Neighbors in my mock draft, got scooped on Bowers. They clearly want to load up on offense. I don't think Odunze would be a good pick for them. I think he would immediately displace Mike Williams. I would also say that his ability to command targets is not far off Garrett Wilson. I think he would greatly upset that Jets pecking order in a way that people would be like stoked about, and I think it would be a great fool's errand to be chasing Jets stacks. So Odunze to the Jets for me at pick 10. Now we're in a tough part of the clock here. So I do think that the Vikings straight up, as I said before, I think Vikings get to 3. Patriots then wiggle around to get J.J. McCarthy. So we're just going to instead take J.J. McCarthy here to say that I do believe that McCarthy is going top 10 or 11. I think he can't go further than the Vikings pick because the Vikings are either going to take him or they're going to trade to somebody else who then takes him as their fallback, likely New England. So J.J. McCarthy goes pick 11. Pick 13, Michael Penix being linked a lot to pick 13. I am not the most confident in Michael Penix, or pick 12 rather as well. So think about both these. Bo Nix reports that the Broncos are willing to trade back to wait for Bo Nix. It's possible they don't find a trade they like. I think someone would trade up with them to come here for one of these guys, like a cornerback. I know it's going to be a popular position you guys take early. Quinyon Mitchell has been linked a lot. So let's just have Quinyon Mitchell go here. I don't know how to approach this for my content. I think the right pick would be just take Bo Nix now in terms of like what we want it to be. I think the Broncos and Bo Nix trading for Zach Wilson, I don't think is all they're going to do. They gave up a sixth rounder that and got a seventh back. So they basically gave up nothing to take Zach Wilson. And they're going to bring in Zach Wilson with a rookie, perhaps with Stidham too, have those three compete. Likely the best guy is going to be not that good. But I think if it's Bo Nix, he wins this job. So, or maybe he's a guy that Wilson wins the job or Stidham wins the job. And then Bo Nix comes on as the savior. If Bo Nix can't win the job in camp, but to me, Nix and the Broncos has made too much sense from day one. I don't know what's going to happen at pick 12, but I think Nix, the Broncos, I think it's going to happen. All right. We have Penix, I think, would be then going to the Raiders. I don't think he goes pick 13. If I had to guess, these two QB things happen, but I think they happen later in the draft with, honestly, the Broncos and Raiders probably playing chicken about who's going to actually take these guys. Because really, at these next few picks, like the Seahawks don't really want a QB. Obviously, you could make a link to Penix with them having hired Washington's offensive coordinator, but it doesn't seem like there's anything linked there. If anything, it seems like there's more linked to them possibly trying to trade Geno to somebody, and then they might have a rookie with that. So possible Seattle could take somebody, but I'm not sure about that. Jaguars not taking a rookie. Bengals not taking a rookie. Rams have said through Jordan Rodriguez that they're basically not likely to take a QB because they don't want to take one in the first round right now with Stafford, even though people might try to piece that together. If something falls to the Rams, I wouldn't rule them out, but I don't think so. Steelers, it wouldn't make sense, even though they did decline Justin Fields' $25 million option. Dolphins, don't think they're going to make the move away from Tua now, so they're not in the options. Eagles already added Kenny Pickett, so they're clear there. Really, nobody is a threat to take a QB from these guys. So I would say that I think these picks happen for Knicks and Penix, but I don't think they happen there. All right, is there anything else that's going to be fun here? Saints could be live to take one of these receivers early. Let's fill the positions here. Could the Saints take A.D. Mitchell? Brian Thomas, shoulder concerns for him. I'm still not out on him, but I think that could drive him down a little bit. Both he and Malik Nabers have the same shoulder issues, I guess. I don't know what's going on at LSU, maybe a weightlifting program. Both guys have rotator cuff issues, so that could be something that rears its head at some point. And I would say if the medical report is worse, like it wouldn't shock me if during the NFL draft, we get one of those, oh, like Brian Thomas's shoulder is much worse than people realize. And like, and then he starts to come down a little bit, so Saints coming up for A.D. Mitchell would not be the most insane thing. They need a lot, though. So I don't know if I should actually give them the receiver. Let's not do that. Let's just go. You can't clear position here. There we go. Okay. We'll give the Saints Quinyon Mitchell. They got a cornerback. Got to defend Mike Evans. We'll do that. Doing the fantasy draft. No, look, I drafted Joe Alt. We saw that. I drafted Cooper DeJean. I drafted Laiatu Latu. I'm drafting guys. I know a few in the first round. I don't know, Jerzon Newton. All right, so at this point, would the Colts take one of the receivers? I think they might. Would the Colts take A.D. Mitchell? They've been linked more to Brian Thomas, but if Brian Thomas is banged up, injured, they're not going to go there. They've been linked to cornerback a lot, but yeah, you know what? I'll guess the Colts take Terry and Arnold. I think if they miss out on Bowers, if they miss out on one of the other guys, and if they're concerned about Brian Thomas' injury history, maybe they push him down a little bit more. So, all right. So there we go. Again, another cornerback going. Seahawks, they could use a defensive interior lineman, I think. Jaguars are live for a wide receiver. Jaguars, A.D. Mitchell, a team I don't like, a QB I don't like, a coach I think gets fired, and a wide receiver I'm not that big on. Put them all together. A.D. Mitchell goes to the Jaguars. Bengals certainly live for an offensive player. Probably a slot guy more so. Not a slot guy you take at this point. Unless the Bengals went nuts. Here we go. This one's for our guy Adam in the chat. Ladd McConkey goes to the Bengals at pick 18 as they try to really improve the Tyler Boyd spot. I know people think that Ladd can play out wide and in the slot. I think he's still mostly going to be running in the slot. Not a huge target earner either, so he can exist in a Jamar Chase, T. Higgins offense. A Ladd McConkey goes to the Bengals here. Until the 20 range can be so many offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and CBs for real, though. I agree. And I would think that the Rams, you know what I think the Rams are going to do here? I think they're going to also upset the draft board. I think we're actually going to see a thing that I don't necessarily want to see. I think we're going to see the freak athletes go a little bit earlier and Ladd McConkey. So I think we see Ladd go. We see A.D. Mitchell go. We see Xavier Worthy go. Pick 20. Pick 20 for the Steelers. They would love a defensive interior lineman, I think. I feel like Dallas Turner should be going higher. They'll take Brian Murphy. Steelers take Brian Murphy. Dolphins disappointed because they need a defensive interior lineman. They go to the edge. They take Dallas Turner. Eagles trying to make the offensive line better? Question mark. They take this guy. Vikings with their QB of the future in tow. Perhaps Drake May. Who knows? They're taking a lineman too. They're going. They love J.C. Latham a lot. They think J.C. Latham is the best offensive lineman. You can't take anyone fun here. Cowboys are a fun team, right? But they need to make some replacements in offensive line too. Cowboys going Troy Fontenot. Packers don't need a receiver. We know that. They could definitely use more support for their offensive line, and they are big fans of Graham Barton. The Packers take Graham Barton. Well, the Bucks simply at this point can't refuse a falling Alamuyiwa Fashanu. So Fashanu, come on down. You're a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Now, you could say the Cardinals at this point, of course, they've added Malik Nabers in our draft. Where would they go? I think they're going to shore up defense. I think they go think they go Jared Verse? It's a tough run for a mock draft, guys. We're getting to something fun. Now we have a fun pick coming up, the Bills. The Bills trying to trade up our reports right now in round one to get a better wide receiver. I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised what falls to them. They have been linked to Brian Thomas in the past, but everybody is scared off because of Brian Thomas's shoulder. Troy Franklin, you're going to Buffalo, but you know who's not scared? Of Brian Thomas's shoulder, a team that has been linked to receiver, and now Luckbox is a potential top 10 caliber pick at number 29. The Detroit Lions take Brian Thomas Jr. Holy shit. All right. What a high T stretch. We drafted a lot off. These teams here are running the shit out of the ball. That's what's going to happen. They're protected QBs. They're running the ball. All right. Ravens. What do the Ravens like to do? Ravens just want another quarterback. They go Kool-Aid McKinstry. Do the Niners do anything fun? Nope. I think they go, what a discount on Amarius Mims. Let's add him in. Trent Williams is getting old, right? Nate Wiggins, a cornerback. Chiefs are losing defensive players and want that defense to be good. Everybody thinks they're going to go receiver. They, in fact, go Nate Wiggins. There's our first round. First round complete. I don't think we're going to do a second round because that took 20 minutes. Get out of here, PFF, with your ads. My first round mock draft. We got Caleb going. I'll read it. We got Caleb going number one. We got Jaden Daniels number two. Drake May number three, though I do think Drake May lives to get traded to the Vikings. Patriots move down. They get themselves J.J. McCarthy. Watch that one. Malik Nabers, a surprise at number four. Joe Alt, the Chargers have signaled that offensive lineman a lot. Joe Alt goes number five. Marvin Harris, at a surprise, goes number six to the Giants. Cooper DeJean to the Titans. Laitu Latu goes to the Falcons. Brock Bauer sneaks to the Bears. Bears overloaded on offense for Caleb Williams. Romo Dunze, awful pick for the Jets. Not because of him, though, just the Jets, stupid. J.J. McCarthy going here. J.J. McCarthy, I think, gets traded or ends up the pick for the Patriots right here, would be my guess. Maybe the Patriots move up to like eight or something, but Patriots McCarthy, I think, would be it if they trade down. Bo Nix and Michael Penix go to the Broncos and Raiders, respectively, even though I think that happens later in the draft. I can't do trades because I'm not paying for the premium product. Quinion Mitchell goes to the Saints. Terrion Arnold to the Colts. Jerzon Newton goes to the Seahawks. Got to build up that defense for Mike McDonald. Adonai Mitchell goes to the Jaguars. Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy. So in terms of takes that I've given, I would be upset here by not having Brian Thomas go before those guys. That is one I think that shoulder thing. Really, I just would not shock me if they have that's a fucking theme of the draft is Brian Thomas falls. Whatever. Brian Murphy goes to the Steelers. Dallas Turner goes to the Dolphins. Tyleese Fuaga goes to the Eagles. We had really tackle heavy here. Vikings go with J.C. Latham, though. And this pick, I think that would be New England getting this guy. So maybe that would change things. New England go receiver there. Maybe New England gets Brian Thomas at 23 to save him from falling. Troy Fontenot goes to the Cowboys here because they need offensive line help. Graham Barton goes to the Packers who need to protect their franchise QB, Jordan Love. Fashanu goes to the Bucks because they need to open up downfield balls for Baker Mayfield. Jared Verse to FSU. Troy Franklin goes to the Bills. Brian Thomas falls to the Lions. That is fun. And the rest of this, who cares? Please hit that like button, boost the algo, you sick, lovely fucks. Yes, indeed, guys. Look, you're not going to see many people here struggle through a mock draft because I care about the fantasy parts, but I still know enough, right? I think we built a good first round here. So please subscribe down below, hit the like button. Normally, Splash Play doing best ball drafts Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. every day. And that'll continue next week, assuming that BBM opens up. So no draft tomorrow here. Tomorrow will be on the Ship Chasing NFL draft show at the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be on the I think that'll be me and Daigle at that point with Pat. I think the returning Pat Corain. With Pete and Gretch as well. So come in for that one. And of course, if you want to draft some best ball, promo code Splash on there. All right. Tier rankings. Let's do it, guys. So you guys know I have some takes here. Obviously, we saw some of them through the course of that mock draft, but I have five different rankings here. We have superstar guys, I think, that step on the field and be a superstar, immediately or shortly thereafter. Good, great, sometimes. So these are the guys that I think I see the case. I might even have a strong case for them. Like they have an outlier chance at being great players. That's going to be the guys who go in that category. Meh with theoretical upside. Guys that don't excite me that much or guys that because of the fact that they tested poorly athletically because the draft capital wasn't there. These are guys that I think maybe a tougher spot to get there, but guys that can hit, I think there's some logical reason why I think they're going to hit. They're going to go there. Only landing spot can save you now. Keon Coleman goes here because I don't like Keon Coleman, but people just keep talking him up in drafts. So guys that really don't think that are that talented but could get a good landing spot, they go there. I think they suck are guys that I think suck. And Keon Coleman could also go there. That's how we're going to rank them. Check the chats too. sub and like this, you fuggers. Sorry for cursing. I don't think that counts as cursing. And smash the like, smash the wife. Yes, your wife will make love to you today if you hit the like button on a mildly watched esoteric streams. All right, Spags, dream spot for Daniels, even if it is impossible. He wants to go to the Raiders. That'd be okay. I don't think there's such a thing as a dream spot for him. I think we're here. I know this is going to sound bad. Wherever Jaden Daniels goes, he's going to make it to a dream spot. But I think the dream spot for me, Miami, would be the real dream spot. Like, he replaces Tua. He goes in there, has a willing downfield throwing coach who then has also great receivers around him. They take a Ricky Pearsall. Like, they load up entirely for him, even if they're not loaded up already. I think that's probably the ideal for me. What else? It'd have to be downfield passing. Maybe Seattle, if they were to really embrace Ryan Grubb's Washington offense. But I think for me, it would probably be he goes to Miami and he just is the best version of Tua that Tua can't even dream of. All right, who's a superstar? I think I got to put Caleb in superstar right away. I think that they've given him the weapons. Any concern I would have, which would have mostly been that Caleb has to play too much hero ball. And I could tell you, as a proud USC alum, you can see the colored USC blanket behind me. Caleb, when he has to do hero ball, yes, great things happen, but he can't do it. Like, he can't carry a team himself. Not many guys can. So that's the thing with Caleb. That said, when you give him DJ Moore, when you give him Keenan Allen, when you give him, in my mock draft, you give him Brock Bowers and Cole Kmet, you give him running game, you give him DeAndre Swift, you hopefully improve that offensive line a little bit more. To me, Caleb Williams is being set up to succeed, set up to hit the ground running from day one. I think that he can be a superstar. I think he should be a superstar. I'd be surprised if he weren't with how this is rolling out for him so far. I guess maybe, you know, the wide receivers are a little bit older. They get hurt. Things look bad. You know, the running isn't there because Swift is maybe a little bit of hit and miss. And then the offensive line, like, maybe it could be bad, but I just don't see it. I think Caleb being a superstar is it for me. Caleb's going to make Keenan Allen so fun to take in PPR formats. I mean, look, I think that he's also going to open up a lot of those deep shots for DJ Moore, which is where he had his most success last year with Justin Fields. I think for Keenan Allen, the route tree that he showed last year with Kellen Moore, I think is a good thing too. I think Caleb is going to make some careers this year and also going to make people go like, fuck, I wish I didn't go Keenan Allen was too old. Because like, he can be old, but he can, as long as he stays healthy, like, Caleb is going to find ways to get him the ball. You could be a corpse out there and he's going to get you the ball. I'm pretty confident in that. All right, who else is superstar? We're going to focus on just guys I think really are going to make that leap. I mean, Malik Nabers, I think, is a superstar. I'm in terms of just guys that I'm going to have the most faith in right now. I'm not going to necessarily put him in that order. Malik Nabers, we've talked about enough on this show, but his EPA metrics are just outlandish in every possible way. You have a guy putting up 121 yards per game, 32% avoided tackle rate, 0.65 EPA on all that. So not only is he putting up the counting stats, he's doing it in a way that's analytically sound, adding first downs, adding stretching out drives, scoring touchdowns, all things that we're looking to see that are positive for fantasy. 31% target route run rate with a good outside receiver and Brian Thomas there. That reflects well upon him. Playing out wide, a 0.44 EPA, playing out of the slot, a 0.8 EPA. You can move him anywhere. And then downfield is where things get the most nuts. 1.6 EPA on throws of 20-plus air yards. He got two deep targets a game. He added more than a point and a half of value every time he touched the ball downfield. That's a Tyreek-level skill. I don't think he's Tyreek necessarily, but he can be Tyreek. So Malik Nabers to me, instant superstar. And if he goes to the Giants, that's the one thing that could maybe fuck it up a little bit. So that'd be the concern. Other guys who are going to be great day one, Marvin Harrison Jr., I think same thing. My concern would once again be like if he goes to the Giants, as I did have him in that mock draft, who's going to be throwing him the ball. But I think he's still going to be able to get open enough as long as they keep Daniel Jones or Drew Lock, as long as they get better protection than they got last year. I think the Giants will be okay to feed a Marvin Harrison. So Marvin Harrison, obviously the better case would be going him with Kyler Murray, him going with Justin Herbert and being the new Keenan Allen slash Mike Williams rolled up into one. I think that's perfectly an outcome that I'm happy with. So Harrison, think no matter what, he's going to be okay. But obviously if he lands one of the better spots, superstar day one would be the hope. Jermaine Burton is not on this list. Again, this is made by the Fantasy Stock Exchange. So shout out to those guys. But unfortunately, they do not have a lot of top prospects. They actually don't even have Brian Thomas on this list. But we'll talk about him when we get when I decide we have to talk about him. Superstar Jaden Daniels, you can't run as well as he does. You can't run as much as he does. Can't throw as many deep balls as he does without being somebody who's special. Jaden Daniels, that's my main bet on him. I think the NFL is getting to be a smaller and smaller league in terms of guys being frail, being able to stand up to the competition. Tank Dell obviously got hurt down the stretch last year on a fluke play, though. Didn't get hurt from just the crushing hits that he took because the NFL, you're just not giving out those come on man kind of hits anymore. You're not giving out the concussion level hits as much. So for Jaden Daniels, I think he also falls better than Anthony Richardson. Obviously, Anthony Richardson got unlucky with his shoulder issue, but like he takes contact to me like a Jalen Hurts, where Hurts is not like a huge guy. For some reason, people think that these guys are worlds apart in terms of body composition. Jalen Hurts is pretty narrow, but he takes hits well. He takes them on the side. He falls in a way that's usually helpful. He falls like a pro wrestler or a stuntman. Jaden Daniels, same thing. So not worried about that. I think if he goes to Washington, he's going to have weapons there. And he's also going to create a lot of value, even with the less good offensive play calling of Cliff Kingsbury. If he goes to New England, I think he'll survive with Alex Van Pelt bringing over some Brown stuff. If he goes to the Raiders, I think he'll be okay there with, I guess, Luke Getsy getting the best version of what he wanted out of Justin Fields. So Jaden, I think, is going to be okay outcome-wise, and the talent is so huge. He's a superstar to me. Hopefully Giants take QB so they don't ruin a wide receiver. I don't know. I think there's enough linking them to seeing them talk, I guess, as an anonymous source level to the Athletic reporter and talk about like wanting a Yak guy. I think that to me screams they want Malik Nabers. But a lot of those teams, I think, want Malik Nabers a lot in that range, which is why I did have Nabers going for. All right. What else? Who else is a superstar in this draft? Is there anybody else? Let's move it down the depth chart. You know, let's go Brock. I think Brock's a superstar. The concern for Brock would really be, to me, him going to the Jets getting caught in a post-Aaron Rodgers morass, I think is a thing that can happen. I worry about the Jets being an offense that pushed the pedal to the metal with Nathaniel Hackett being the coach. Just don't think that's the thing that's going to make you make a leap as an offense. I think it's a defensive team that's going to win by playing it close to the vest. So if he goes to the Jets, I am going to be a little bit down on his immediate prospects. That said, he's so talented, he's probably going to dominate that Jets offense and targets. I would imagine he becomes almost a 1B, if not the straight one to Garrett Wilson. I think he's a better targeter than Wilson. Obviously, he's going to have to block on enough plays that won't always materialize. But I think if you have both those guys running routes out there, I think you're going to Bowers a little bit more, especially if you are a decrepit Aaron Rodgers who's going to have, you know, a limper arm and also less confidence to stay in the pocket to get deep balls out. So Bowers, I think, will be a superstar. I worry about his outcomes a little bit. He can go somewhere that isn't an open target tree. Again, I would love him to go to a Carolina and just be wide receiver one, basically, him and Deontay Johnson. I think he would supplant Deontay Johnson as that. But that's, you know, not necessarily going to happen. All right. Don't you think contradict to be so high on Nabers and Jaden Daniels seems like what made the other good? What? No. They could both be great. And then, yeah, there were two great LSU receivers. So if anything, you want to say that, you know, Jaden Daniels made these guys great, but no, Nabers was also great. Like, again, he avoided tackles really well. He still did things when he had the ball. So you need both parts to come together. But yeah, like, I believe Jaden Daniels is going to be a Stroud level player in terms of creating value for his guys. So I guess you could say that case, but you don't like say, oh, these guys aren't good because they were great together. That would be kind of a foolish approach. Okay. Let's see what else we're doing here. I'm going to put Drake May in meh with theoretical upside. I think so. His tendencies are good. He throws a lot of deep balls. He ran a lot more the year before last than he did this past year, where I think he made a business decision. Also could be the offense of changing over from a full air raid to more of a kind of traditional shotgun slash, I guess, a little more pro style too. But yeah, for Drake May, I think for him, the accuracy is a real concern. Like, he really is woefully inaccurate in a way that people jumped all over AR for. And if you're one of those people out there that wants to make like a race case, fucking Drake May's numbers look a lot like Anthony Richardson, and nobody talks about how inaccurate Drake May is. And that's me as an AR stan. Very odd to me that that's not a frequent talking point for how Drake May had what? Let's pull up the numbers so we can actually cite this. Drake May, 60% on target rate is worse than every QB in the draft, including the Sam Hartmans, including guys who didn't enter the draft like Will Howard, including Spencer Rattler. Really bad. 77% catchable ball rate would also be bottom tier. He'd only be ahead of Sam Hartman and Devin Leary in that category. And I guess Will Howard, who's still going back to college. So Drake May, really bad in a lot of things that people want to see for these guys throwing the ball. I still think he's more likely to be good, great sometimes, but I think people are anointing him as a superstar, and I'm pushing back on that. So he goes to man with theoretical upside, just woefully inaccurate. I don't know. That wasn't my case. I just read the chats and can try to explain it. All right, who else do we have here? Here's another one that I think he's more good than great sometimes, but I kind of want to market correct. So I'm going to go with good but great sometimes. Romo Dunze, he's not to me in the same tier as Nabers and Harrison. I think that Odunze should be closer to meh with theoretical upside. I believe you're going to get similar opportunity from a Troy Franklin, but I have been impressed with Odunze. He still was a decent target earner, a decent enough target earner with a last year 29% target per out run. So definitely it's here behind Neighbors. It's here behind Harrison. But Odunze is still decent enough, technically better in EPA per target than Marvin Harrison was, though a lot of that was the willfulness of Penix throwing the ball downfield. I think that Odunze showed enough to me. The issue is really that he was a large, a big-time air yards merchant, led the entire rookie class in air yards besides Tez Walker. 154 per game, converted 110 of them, you know, obviously not including his after-the-catch yardage. Point being for Odunze, though, the concern is he's not a freak athlete. He did get there through willful targets from his QB, who forced the ball downfield at a rate that's probably not going to happen for Odunze in the NFL. But again, I'm willing to be there for Odunze. I just think that he is a tier behind, and if he lands somewhere like the Giants, I don't know. How dare I besmirch Odunze? Look, I was heavy on Odunze. I took him. I'm taking him in the hope. But again, if he's the one that goes to the Giants, I would just be like, all right. Like, that's okay, but maybe I don't want to be there quite as much close when the big board launches. I think that nobody sums up good, maybe great sometimes more to me than J.J. McCarthy, and people are going to be unhappy about this one, that I have Drake May a tier below. McCarthy's a pro QB. McCarthy is going to get the ball out on time. He's going to get the ball out of accuracy. We just talked about Drake May's numbers. McCarthy is honestly a pretty big inverse to that. 10% better in terms of catchable ball rate, 86.4% compared to 76.5%. So that's a pretty big chasm there in terms of being able to snap the ball out, get it where it needs to go. 73% on target rate, again, compared to 61% for Drake May. I don't want to make this a Drake May bashing thing because May has tendencies that I like. Downfield throwers, guys who run, but the flip side can be dangerous. So that's why Drake May, to me, has to kind of go level below. McCarthy, I think, is just going to be a guy where if he gets Minnesota's job, it doesn't matter what he does. He just has to be good enough to feed Justin Jefferson, to feed Jordan Addison downfield, to feed Hockenson when he comes back. That's a great out for him. If he goes to New England, it's going to be a little bit tougher. He's probably going to be playing more of those 175-yard passing games, maybe gets you two touchdowns in that. I think that's the risk profile. But the upside for him, you know, for him to go to Minnesota, that is such a massive upside that I think he has a shot to be a superstar because of that. But he was just efficient, didn't fuck up, and those are going to be things that help him out in the pros. And frankly, has a really live arm, ability to move out of the pocket, better athlete in the RAS testing, and also ran a little bit more in college, people might realize. And actually, was he a plus EPA rusher? I believe he was. Yeah, 0.305 EPA per rush, and actually a 44% avoided tackle rate for J.J. McCarthy in college. Only ran three times a game, so him, you know, missing more tackles than a Jaden Daniels doesn't mean he's a better rusher than Jaden Daniels, but he's shifty and he can run more. So I think for him, I think his worst case is like fancy Baker Mayfield, like more championship caliber Baker Mayfield. And I think his ceiling is potentially Burrow-esque, but like less passing volume Burrow, I think is kind of the ceiling I see for him. So that's what I'm doing. Sneaky white boy speed. There we go. And a winner, I think he lost four games of college. I mean, look, winning is still a team stat, but yeah. Being a part of a winning team is a skill. Not costing your team those wins is a skill. Similarly, not Troy Franklin time, sorry. Similarly, I'm going to put Bo Nix here. Met with theoretical upside, and I think he's good, maybe great sometimes, but I'm not going to put him ahead of Drake May. Bo Nix, what he's coming in with, again, he's like older, less athletic, less toolsy J.J. McCarthy is what I would say for Bo Nix. He's going to run a pro offense. I'll give the numbers one more time here because his numbers really are wowing. The thing that first of all jumps out with Bo Nix, positive EPA under pressure. It was only pressure on 15% of snaps, but only took a sack 1.4% of the time. He also had a 0.09 EPA under pressure. So nobody in the NFL last year, I believe, had a positive EPA under pressure. So to do that, it's really impressive. Now, Bo Nix used screens and stuff, use short passes to kind of keep the pressure off them. So that's part of, you know, Oregon's offense slash like what he had in his tool belt. But it's still crazy to see. As is crazy, 77% on target rate, 88% catchable ball rate, a low A dot, 6.4 A dot. But, you know, Caleb Williams' A dot was only 8.2, and he had a 67% catchable ball rate, a 67% on target rate, 80% catchable ball rate. Point being is like, not everybody in this class was like a historical downfield thrower like a Penix was, like a Jaden Daniels was. So I think in this situation, to me, Bo Nix, yeah, like you could question the fact that he was throwing it so short, a lot of timing-based stuff underneath. But I think just being able to run an offense and having that be a thing for Sean Payton in particular, who loves to do that in Denver, that's a really good fit for him. So there's a shot to me that Bo Nix might be better in fantasy than some of the other rookie QBs who are more ballyhooed. Probably not Jaden, probably not Caleb. I think Bo Nix is live for some outcomes, and I'll die on that hill. The one of my least favorite takes I've gotten from chat, and no respect to our guy Felix, of course, he's won the DK Millie Maker in basketball a couple of years ago. Comparing him to Jake Locker was one of the worst comps that I think I've ever seen, because of the fact that Bo Nix is just such a competent, like, keeping things running on time QB that I think is really undervalued by fantasy people. And if he goes to Minnesota too, which he is live to, if Minnesota gets blanked on all the QBs, him going to Minnesota would be fucking tremendous. So there we go. 40 minutes late. Fuck. Good news is the stream's still here. You can skim back. You're not missing much. I mean, well, you missed a lot. My mock draft was, I think, electric. That was it. All right. Who else here? I think USC, Trojans, and UNC QBs basically all get too much hype, then fail in the NFL. That's not true. USC, though, going to become the team with the most first-round picks, or no, actually not first-round picks. Number one overall picks is what they're going to be this year. So big news for USC. But they, look, it's small sample. Carson Palmer was fucking electric. Leinart wasn't. Sanchez had a shot, didn't get there. They have the same hit rate probably as any elite program does. OSU had people said that about Ohio State. Then what? People fucking did say that last year on streams in the chat. They're like, Ohio State never makes good QBs. And then of course Stroud comes out and changes the entire composition of a franchise. So like, don't let those priors go there, man. Darnold is now might potentially a starting QB and also has performed pretty decently analytically. All right. Not get sidetracked with this. I don't know if they have Mayan Williams in this one. Mayan Williams, a player I've not seen getting expected to be drafted at all, but I wasn't making my own tier maker, so what are we going to do? Ladd McConkey, let's rank him. Let's get him out of the way. I think Ladd's meh with theoretical upside. I think the target earning for me, the last time that he had enough targets to qualify in SIS data, he only earned targets 22% of the time, which is really low. I think he's still better out of the slot than out wide. I think he's he's better than okay athlete. He's a very good athlete. I think people are really like route / film guy stuff, I think, is distracting from the fact the guy just didn't produce. Like, to me, you have to produce. I think he still has theoretical upside. That's why I take him from time to time. If he lands somewhere like Indianapolis, if he lands somewhere like Washington, if he lands somewhere where like the receivers ahead of him aren't great, I think he can move up. I think that he, yeah, okay. So what was Brian Thomas's issue? Brian Thomas put up fucking 20 touchdowns playing alongside Malik Nabers. Point being, for Ladd McConkey, I don't think he does enough of everything. I think that he can have a good outcome. To me, though, he's more of a man with theoretical upside, where he has some good stuff that you want to give him the positives for, but ultimately, did you produce in college? Did you do it at a high level? Did you do it over and over and over again? Ladd did. So that's it. He's still efficient enough, though, but like, you got to earn more targets, or you have to be Brian Thomas. For what it's worth, I would say Brian Thomas, I would put more in the good, great, sometimes area. We don't have a picture for him here on this one, but Brian Thomas, to me, it's kind of the inverse, where produced like crazy in college, is not a refined route runner, is a similarly freak athlete, but bigger, more of a traditional guy. And he produced like fucking a monster in college with a QB that I think will add value to any team, any receivers he plays with. But like, Brian Thomas, to me, is like, he showed it all last year, playing with Malik Nabers, playing with Jaden Daniels, but you know, still showed it all. Whereas Ladd, I'm buying in off of shit of people going like, he runs nice routes and RAS testing. And it's like, okay, what? Then why didn't you do anything at Georgia? He didn't do anything. Didn't do anything last year either, Adam, and he was healthy. Didn't do shit. besides that, Xavier Worthy. This is a tough one for me. I think a little more meh with theoretical upside. I think Worthy's going to get a good outcome. I think Worthy, he earned targets at a better rate than a Ladd. We're talking 28% versus like 22%. I'm going to put Worthy in good but great sometimes. I don't think Worthy's a superstar. I do think he's got superstar speed. So that's something. But he can be fancy 2-2 Atwell in the Rams offense, and it wouldn't shock me very much. He does play a little more close to the line of scrimmage stuff. There are some similarities to him in Tank Dell's game in college that I think are hard for me to ignore, which is why I'm going to put Worthy in good, great sometimes. I think, to me, I would still have him behind a Brian Thomas. I would have him behind a Romo Odunze. But I think Worthy's going to get the draft capital, as we saw in my mock draft. I think he's going to land somewhere where they're going to make him a focal point of the offense. And he's burner fast. So, like, really good teams might go out of the way to get him. And I think for him, that's going to be a good outcome. All right. And Adams, to close the loop on Ladd, wasn't a target earner, but he had the complex routes, not just run straight and be 6'5". Okay. Ultimately, Brian Thomas and Ladd McConkey's target earning is not dissimilar in college. I would just rather make the bet on the enormous guy with the freak skills rather than the nice route runner who couldn't get targets, but we'll find out. And that's why I'm still putting Ladd. Like, to me, the guys that I really am apprehensive about are going to be these last two categories. Ladd is not those last two categories for me. All right, who do we have here? All right, Troy Franklin, you guys know how I feel about him. If he goes to the Bills, this is going to be one of the things I was most correct on these last few months. So for Troy, here's my concern for Troy. He goes somewhere and is kind of forgotten in a Terrace Marshall-y way because he does remind me of Terrace Marshall, not in terms of size, not in terms of speed, in terms of the talent. I think Franklin's a little bit skinnier, a little bit faster. I mean, honestly, might be a lot faster. I don't know. Terrace Marshall's 40 time offhand. But Troy Franklin, to me, like, he runs the risk of being a guy that lands on a depth chart that he can't earn his way out of. So that's my fear for him. The upside is he goes to Buffalo, who's seen him three times in visits, and he goes there, and he is now new Diggs and Gabe Davis. And if he is, he's going to be a monster because in college, what he did was he earned targets at a great rate, 31% target per out run. He also had a 0.7 EPA. That's the highest in the class for everybody besides Taj Washington and Brendan Rice. Odd that those two did it at USC, but that's neither here nor there. Point being for him, he's a great analytics player who I think has been really underappreciated by the same film bros who are jerking off Ladd McConkey. So the one thing that I think will be a make or break for me, again, hot takes here, and this has been the take I've had this entire time. You guys know if you've watched. The make or break for me is going to be if everybody's right about Ladd and everybody's right about Troy Franklin and he's just like wide receiver 10 in the class, then I'm wrong. If I'm right about Troy Franklin and right about Ladd McConkey, then I think I've crushed the big board and I think I crushed the content for you guys this time period. It is a major make or break spot, though, in terms of my analysis that I know I fear is a blind spot, but I fucking love Troy Franklin and I do not love these guys who don't earn targets and don't produce at this insane level. He earned targets and produced at an insane level and was great downfield and was great out wide, a 0.6 EPA on 7 targets out wide, like outlandish shit for a guy that people are just crapping on left and right. Troy Franklin, I will die on the hill of Troy Franklin. So I hope he goes somewhere good. It's going to make it a lot easier to die on that hill. But if he goes somewhere and he's like, because of the Bengals, then I don't know, man. It's going to be a little bit tougher for him to get there. I cannot bet draft props in Pennsylvania. Otherwise, I would be doing bets as part of this video. I was actually looking up to see if I could access them still, but no, we cannot bet draft props in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is like very, you have legal betting, but then you can't do you can't do prize picks, can't do underdog, and you can't do NFL draft props or anything, any like silly props that aren't just straight numerical things. So I've not. Scott's rooting for Worthy from Fresno. Weighs 160, can be detrimental. Like Franklin, he's a little bigger than Worthy. He's much bigger than Worthy, but you know, he's also like taller. But yeah, point being, I think that they both have a shot. And Worthy to me, like I think these guys, I think Franklin's the player I like more. The athletic testing of Worthy, though, is going to make him somebody's bell of the ball. So those guys to me, like similar players. I want to go with the analytics and the shot at a nut landing spot. For Worthy, though, it's just like the athletics are going to make him probably get a better landing spot than Franklin does, or at least higher draft capital than Franklin does. I'm not doing all offshore stuff. It's just not for me. But I appreciate the sentiment, but no, I'm not. When you have legal thing, like whenever I have the legal thing, I just do the legal thing. Like same thing for weed. Like I'm going to buy legal weed. I'm not going to buy like, but even though I get it. All right. Who else are we looking at here? Braylon Allen. To me, he's a landing spot guy. Like I don't like Braylon Allen very much. I know our guy Jeff has defended him really well to the point that has been willing to take Braylon Allen in drafts and got 2x the field on him overall. Braylon Allen, though, slightly positive EPA, did not avoid tackles very well. He's big. He might get the Cowboys spot. That's the reason for him. I think talent-wise, though, if he goes, I don't know, where would he go? If he goes to, like, Cincinnati, I don't know that he's actually an improvement on Zach Moss. I don't think he's an improvement on Chase Brown. I think that's where like I run into issues with Braylon Allen. If he goes to Dallas and they just hand him the job, then he's going to crush. If he goes to Baltimore is like the Hassan Haskins now for Derrick Henry again, maybe he can hit as a handcuff. But I think Braylon Allen is really a landing spot guy to me that he's got to land in a spot where they're treating him like RB1. And if they do that, he'll be good. Trey Benson was not great in college. I think that he's going to have better prospects in the pros, which is where I'm struggling to rank him. Decent pass catcher. I'm going to give him good, maybe great sometimes, because I think that his athletic testing gives him a nut outcome. Jonathan Brooks, not on this picture list either, unfortunately, so I can't put him on, but I would say same thing for him. I think that both those guys are good, maybe great sometimes, at least pre-draft. I'm hoping they land good outcomes. It's likely the two running backs off the board. Brooks, I think, is a fucking infinitely more talented than Trey Benson. Like, in terms of EPA metrics, he produced catching the ball. Let me see, avoided tackles too. Yeah, Brooks, 27% avoided tackle rate. Benson, 22%, which is okay. You know, Benson a little bit lower than an Audric Estime. But I think for Brooks, like, the ability to catch passes and be good there, he's going to be better than Benson in that part. Benson, 0.29 EPA, but didn't earn targets very well. Whereas Brooks, 0.5 EPA on targets, 12 routes a game, 21 touches a game for Brooks before he got hurt. I like Brooks a little bit more. Benson, though, not bad. I think those guys are similar in as much as they're going to get the draft capital. They're both likely good enough athletes, and I think one is a better producer. But to me, Benson and Brooks, I put in good, great sometimes, maybe teetering on meh with theoretical upside. Brooks is a great prospect, but he was the second best RB on his team this year, IMO. Okay. I mean, look, Adam knows this stuff fairly well. All right. No, I did not. Sorry. But you're fucking spoiling your on-air appearances before you do. When we have to do Adam's canceled now. He's not doing his guest booking now. We'll get Adam on once BBM is open. But Adam won our guest giveaway here, our guest hosting spot giveaway. So check the pinned comment after the stream. 5 stars interview for probably, and you can enter to win the next guest hosting giveaway we do in May. And we'll hit Adam's at some point when we have a tournament to do. All right, other players we still have here that I really need to hit. Michael Penix is one I know you guys care about. I'll give him a meh with theoretical upside. I think that he is a guy to me that he can go somewhere like Seattle, and I think he would be, even though it doesn't seem like they feel that way as a team level, I think he'd be better than Howell on that depth chart. I think he could be better than Geno in year one. That said, if he goes somewhere like the Raiders, I don't know that he actually beats out Gardner Minshew because of the fact that he is mostly a deep ball merchant guy who, again, just threw the ball downfield a lot. Analytically, EPA metrics were a little bit soft. Overall, 0.25 EPA per dropback is not bad. Actually, a little bit better than Caleb Williams, but did not have as much value in the run game. Under pressure, he acquitted himself pretty well, negative 0.2 EPA there. The accuracy stuff is really the big thing for me with Penix. He's on target 66% of the time, which is pretty low. It is close to Caleb Williams, but he's not as electric as Caleb, so that's kind of the gap there. He also, catchable ball rate 76%. That is lower than Caleb and lower than Drake May. So Penix, to me, if he goes somewhere, they take the governor off and they go, hey, man, throw for 500 air yards in a game, play like Jameis Winston on the Bucks a couple of years ago, he'll be good. If he doesn't, you know, he might not be that good. And actually, the more I talk about it, I think if he goes to the wrong team, like a team that's going to try to change him into like a West Coast offense guy, I think that he could fail pretty aggressively. So I'm going to go with Penix here. I think that Penix, I feel okay with Penix in this group, but I think Penix, to me, I have to fill this category more, and Penix does fit the criteria the more I talk about it. All right, who else do we have? Keon Coleman. You know what? I think he could get saved by landing spot. I think he sucks. I think he didn't earn targets very well. I think that Johnny Wilson looked better than him at every possible thing. And Jordan Travis wasn't a bad QB either. Now that I've looked at his stats a little bit, I don't think he gets drafted anywhere. I think he's still like a, honestly, I'll put him in only landing spot could save you because he's got to go somewhere he could start. But like Jordan Travis wasn't a bad QB and Keon Coleman wasn't good. And then Johnny Wilson was good in that same offense and Trey Benson was an okay pass catcher in that offense. So I think that speaks a lot to me for Keon Coleman. The film bros out there will go, oh, well, Keon Coleman had to have the hard targets. He had to have the contested catches. He also couldn't get open. So I don't know where you balance that out. But Keon Coleman, 27% target per out run. Only a 0.003 EPA per target, which is pretty hard to be that bad getting any volume of targets. Out wide was slightly better with a 0.02 EPA per target, but that's not anywhere close to anybody else in this class. For comparison, Odunze 0.46 out wide, Neighbors 0.44 out wide, Harrison 0.32 out wide. So for Keon Coleman, he's not good at anything. Was he good in the red zone at least? Keon Coleman was pretty good in the red zone. So he had a 0.27 EPA on red zone targets with 1.1 targets there. And inside the 10-yard line, 0.5 targets and a one flat EPA per targets in the red zone, which actually would be among the best in the class behind Brian Thomas and behind Jalen Polk. So Keon Coleman being a jump ball red zone guy is his best outcome. I'm still keeping him. I think he sucks. Jordan Travis was like a good late round pick for the Jets. I don't hate that at all. I mean, they definitely have their backup for this year, but it's a developmental guy. I wouldn't hate that. If you're, as long as you're getting them, you know, fourth round. Okay. Who else we have here? Blake Corum. Only landing spot can save him in my eyes. He's an okay back. He really regressed this year compared to how he played the year before. I think he also was not the best back in that backfield last year, but had the commitment of volume is a big thing for him. Corum doesn't avoid tackles at all. As I've mentioned many times on stream, 10% avoided tackle rate for him last year, which is bottom barrel NFL. You can get away with it if you're Joe Mixon and you're an aged vet. Even Mixon was better than that in the NFL. So you expect Blake Corum to be missing in the pros 5%-ish, maybe even lower, which would make him one of the least shifty backs in the league. But if he goes to the Chargers and with Dobbins and Edwards there, maybe that makes it less likely. But if he goes to the Chargers, he's probably to get fed some touches. Do you think he's going to be a good goal line back, kind of an Algier back in that level, a 1.1 receiving EPA on red zone touches, a 0.33 red zone rushing EPA? He can do it in the red zone, but he's really not good, doesn't avoid tackles well enough. I think Corum is a trap, a brand name trap. I think he is one that I've been down on this entire time. Saquon is still good in college. He just hasn't been that in the pros, but he's still, his numbers in college look worse than Saquon in the pros. So I think he's more of just like a pure Mike Davis type, where if you get the volume, you'll get there. If you don't get the volume, you're going to find some issues. And the size too worries me, but I don't think he's Deuce Vaughn on that level, where Deuce Vaughn, I didn't think could even get on the field, ended up being right about that one. I think for Blake Corum, he's going to get on the field and he is going to find a world of hurt for himself, and a smart team will recognize that it's not good to play him more. But yeah, who knows? Similarly, Audric Estime, this hurts me. I think he is an only landing spot could save him now guy, at least for this year. I'm gonna put Bucky here too. These guys are good, so they have the inverse here. I think that Corum is not that good. I think Estime and Irving are good, but they have to get landing spots to give him a shot to rise up the depth chart. If they go to Philadelphia behind Saquon now, paying that big money. They go to the Niners behind CMC. They go to Miami behind Achane and Mostert. You're not going to get there. So like, but if Estime goes to Buffalo, if Bucky goes to Houston or Dallas, there's a really nice spots for those guys. So I think the landing spot can really salvage them. In terms of how I view their talent, I think they're more of a meh with theoretical upside kind of guys. Maybe good, but great. But I don't think the draft capital is there enough, and I'm not going to lead you guys like lambs to the slaughter because I liked a guy in January and February. So for Estime and Irving, I'm above the field on them in the big board. I think they're two of the most analytically sound backs in the class, but they're not going to get the draft capital of Benson and Brooks. So that is why, unfortunately, a pretty big tier break. Did I get Bucky on here? I did indeed. Unfortunately. Unfortunately, Bucky's got to go there. Nice video for Underdog, though. Josh and Hayden talking about Bucky. Bucky's shifty as hell, which is the part that's appealing. But the RAS testing is so bad that he's now skiing uphill a little bit on that. Johnny Wilson. I think Johnny's meh with theoretical upside. The theoretical upside part is that he has to be the first gigantic receiver to meaningfully succeed. But Johnny Wilson, as I talked about, he's in the exact same offense as a guy like Keon Coleman. And for comparison, Johnny Wilson earned targets 36% target per out run rate compared to 27% for Keon Coleman. 0.37 EPA per target compared to 0.003. Out wide, a 0.26 EPA compared to 0.02. So like basically better than Keon Coleman in every metric besides the red zone where Wilson did not get targeted enough to qualify. Wilson really thrived beyond the sticks, 3.6 targets per game there, good for a 0.4 EPA, whereas Keon Coleman was not targeted enough to qualify past the sticks. He was only targeted either downfield or close to the line of scrimmage. So weird usage pattern for these guys, but Wilson is big, has to overcome being big. Not a lot of gigantic guys have hit a receiver, but he was talented enough and earned targets enough that I think he's met with theoretical upside. Checking the Albright mock for the scoops. There you go. It's time to check more mock drafts. But again, will he be more right than my PFF draft? Probably not. I think we're going to make that stand. Malachi Corley, I would say, honestly, he should probably go ahead of Johnny Wilson. These aren't rankings here, but Malachi Corley, smaller, better target earner than Johnny Wilson. I guess similar target earner to Johnny Wilson. People compare him to Debo. He's not as muscular as Debo. He's like lithe Debo would be the best way to explain him. For Malachi Corley, though, I think that he's got a good outcome. Big target earner, has been seen by a lot of teams. To me, he's meh with theoretical upside. Will Shipley, he can get a landing spot as a pass game back. I'm still putting him. I think he sucks. I think, again, he had a good pro day. He had some good athletic testing, didn't show it at the combine. So that's going to make it a little bit harder for him to get there. I think he can land somewhere and be as like another version of Dylan Labbe would be, I guess, his best hope. In terms of the pass game, I'm not going to cite metrics. It's like we're a little bit late in the video now, but was a plus EPA receiver, was not a plus EPA rusher. For Will Shipley, I just don't think the talent's there as a rusher, but as a pass game back, the NFL always needs pass game backs. I would rather have Dylan Labbe than Will Shipley for what it's worth. But I think to me, Labbe would be a landing spot can save you now guy, whereas Shipley to me is probably that too, but he's untalented enough that he should be. I think he sucks because I think he sucks. Jatavion Sanders, I don't think he sucks. I think the landing spot could save him. Would rather have Sinnott than him. I would put Sinnott in meh with theoretical upside. Jatavion Sanders to me, just not a good target earner, not a great producer. Athletic testing has not been there. Sinnott's a better athlete. Sinnott's a better blocker. Sinnott also, I think, looks better to me eye test wise. Sanders looks great because he had the number zero on in college. So that's what Sanders is going for him. He's okay. He can land somewhere good. Marshawn Lloyd, he's got to get the landing spot. He's got to get the landing spot. I'm going good, maybe great sometimes for Marshawn Lloyd. The avoided tackle rate, being able to do what he did, not a lot of guys can miss as many tackles as he did. So Marshawn Lloyd, 37% avoided tackle rate on run plays, 85% avoided tackle rate on pass plays. There were not a lot of either, though. He only had 12.3 opportunities a game. So that's the downside for Lloyd. Do you think in terms of being a red zone back, he probably will not be the best in the world there? Let me make sure I've got that correct. Yeah, he had a negative receiving EPA in the red zone, a positive 1.16 EPA in the red zone for run plays. So he can be okay in the red zone. I do think his size and how he runs makes me worry a little bit in the red zone. Like he's going to take some backwards plays, which probably can, he might not be a goal line back is really the main thing here. But I think in terms of a back that could get the draft capital, if he does get the draft capital and he lands in a spot where like it's treated like an Achan, he's not going to have the Achan burst, but he's going to be able to create some big plays. I think Lloyd, to me, this is me being in the bag a little bit. I think Lloyd should probably be, for most sane people, should be meh with theoretical upside. To me, though, I like what he's doing. I like that the athletic testing checked out. I think he should be a good but great sometimes guy. Spags needs to make one of these for Squirt Squatters, where the chats would rank. Yeah, maybe if enough people wanted it, I could. Though I don't want to do all the images for you guys. That'd be the tough part. A.D. Mitchell. Meh with theoretical upside. I'd rather have Worthy. I think that Mitchell's a better bodied guy, but a little bit less talented. Mitchell, to me, I think has more bust outcomes than Worthy. Worthy at least will earn targets at a decent clip, whereas Mitchell might not earn targets at all. For him, I think he's going to get a good draft capital spot. So that's why he has theoretical upside. If he somehow fell, though, I don't know. Like if he falls to Buffalo, he's going to fucking win out by that. But if he falls somewhere that's like not good and ends up wide receiver three, I would be apprehensive about him in drafts. So to me, Mitchell, just a guy that I'm low on. I actually think that Polk is the better version of him, where Polk's going to get less draft capital, more talented. To me, produced incredibly well in a Washington offense where clearly there were other guys taking targets away. Polk, I'll put in net with theoretical upside. I have liked him. Jalen McMillan, I think he needs to be an only landing spot guy. Like he needs one of the big AFC teams. He's visited the Bengals, visited the Bills, visited the Chiefs. He needs one of them to take a shot on him. I think Polk's more talented. McMillan's still fine, though, but McMillan's going to be more of a slot guy. He has to get a good outcome with a good team to get there. And this guy, Maya Williams, is not actually in a draft, so there we go. And let's see. Who else would I have to add in here? Brendan Rice, I think, is meh with theoretical upside. For a guy going to the 20th round, 19th round of the drafts, I think that's worth the flyer. To me, he and Johnny Wilson, similar things, but Brendan Rice, a more traditional receiver, where he produced just being an outside receiver for Caleb Williams, and he was the best one of them. He was the best one of them by a large margin. I've said it countless times on stream, but if you watch Caleb Williams' highlights, you're going to see number two making play after play after play after play. It's all Brendan Rice. So Brendan Rice, to me, certainly benefited from Caleb's greatness, but I think also bailed Caleb out a lot on some of those fucking running around. Like he got some spots that were open that were not open before when Caleb started his scrambling. So for Brendan Rice, I think he'd be in the mad with theoretical upside. And if he lands a good spot in the draft, he could be good to great. I think he can hit the field and be good from day one. Who else do I have a lot of exposure to? Is there anybody that I haven't talked about here? Ben Sinnott, I've talked about mad with theoretical upside. Nobody else I think I've really caped for that's not on this list. Brian Thomas, good, great sometimes. I think that's it, guys. These are my hot takes. So I have to do a summary here. In summary, I guess my biggest stands are, number one, Jaden Daniels is going to crush. I think he's going to be one of the best fantasy players from day one. I think that he is also going to be somewhere, no matter where he lands, that he's creating value for those pass catchers, creating value for the stack in addition to himself. So I think he makes the team better day one. I think he's Stroud and AR rolled up into one. That's been my take from basically day one. It is still my take one day before the NFL draft. So that's the hill that I am dying on, in particular, number one. Number two would be Neighbors is going to be great. Harrison's going to be great. Odunze is going to be slightly great. So slightly less great, rather. So I think that's another one that I'll plant a flag for. I don't think that's anything that crazy there. But I guess that could go hand in hand with, I think Troy Franklin and Brian Thomas are the most live to be the wide receiver three in this class. And maybe better if they get a nut landing spot. Again, if Troy Franklin goes to Buffalo, I think in terms of production, he might be Neighbors and Harrison, and he might be those guys. Might not beat him, but he might be in the range of those guys in year one. So Troy Franklin is probably my biggest flag plant besides Jaden Daniels, and that continues to be one. And then I don't know. I don't think there's a third. Blake Corum is ass. Number three, Blake Corum is ass. he can land a nut landing spot, and that could be it. You could luck box that. For Blake Corum, though, you can't avoid 10% tackles in college and expect you to get better in the pros. So Blake Corum down. And that's it, man. That's a lot of hot takes and for a draft. So Lions getting a stud receiver. I think that's one that's pretty hot. So hopefully that did something for you guys. Leggett, that's right. Where would Leggett rank? Leggett, I'd put good, great, sometimes. I think I'd put him a tier ahead of Ladd and those guys. So yeah, Leggett is a stand for me. I think a less big stand than Troy Franklin. If you had the gun to my head, I'd probably make my bet on Troy Franklin over Xavier Leggett. But Leggett could get a good outcome too. So I put him in good but great. I think he's a better fantasy producer right now than a Ladd, than a Malachi Corley. That's my bet. You tell me yours in the comments, guys. Either way, though, subscribe down below. Hit that like button again. New videos coming every Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. when we are in a normal period of drafts. And when Best Ball Mania opens, we are back on that cycle. Started up, I guess, probably on Monday. So please tune in for that one. Subscribe, hit the like button here. Try to do my best, give you guys the best info. And also, you know, defend my takes, look at data, try to land in the middle and figure out where I should be when you guys try to ask me about things, question me about things. So as always, a promise here on Splash Play. Of course, probably sports betting. Change your life in sports betting with our data. Probably.com/subscribe. Use promo code SPLASH on there to get 50% off a month or a year. You can also check the pinned comments for our free 7-day trial on the App Store. Of course, on that App Store description, make sure to leave 5 stars and a review if you want to guest host Splash Play and do a draft with me coming up in May. Stochastic, nobody's signing up for, but you should. Their tools still fucking rock. I guess people just don't like playing MLB, but play MLB, play PGA, play NASCAR, all the Sims, MMA. It all helps you out on there with their Sims tools. 50% off with the promo code SPLASH on there. And thank you to all these fine folks who've helped me put on the show. Of course, you too can do this. We actually might have a few people I haven't put on. So my bad if you're on this list or not on this list, and you should be. But hit the join button down below. Support the show. This is, of course, a show I do for free, basically. Trying to build up the channel, trying to make it worthwhile, and your support does go a long way. And of course, you get access to a premium Discord with that. You get access to more VIP perks, including the SPAGs rankings that are coming out after the NFL draft. And I've been doing some blurbs, and it's as tedious as I thought it would be. But you like my hot takes here. You're going to get 250 of them, basically, because I talk them about basically every player in the SPAGs rankings. That's it, guys. That's it. Gamble responsibly. You know my takes on that. I don't know. It's going to be a fun NFL draft, though. So no video on Splash Play tomorrow, but I will be on that ship-chasing stream, 8 o'clock to 8:45. And, of course, that whole stream with Pete, with Gretch, with Karain, of course, is going to be a great time for everybody. So watch that. Come back for that one, and then we'll see when BBM opens. I'll be back as soon as it does, guys. That is my promise here. Frankly, even if it opens Saturday morning, if it opens Sunday morning, might get a surprise stream. So hit that notification bell so you'll know when I go live. And I will see you guys then. Enjoy your days, guys. And, of course, good luck.